Welcome back to Lessons of a Former Pastor's Wife. I'm Amy Kennedy. I'm your host, and this is my story. In my last podcast, I talked about the fatal mistake I made in dropping my armor, which resulted in me being ill-equipped and incapable of fighting physical and emotional battles in 2022 and early 2023. The consequence of losing my armor and relying solely on my own strength and misguided beliefs resulted in the worst mental breakdown I have ever experienced. And it almost sunk me entirely. My theology changed for a brief time. I questioned whether God was real or if I was just inventing an idea of Him in my mixed up brain. After all, how could a loving God allow me to go through so much? If He was real, didn't He care about me? My health was wrecked, and for the first time in my life, I believed I was losing my mind. Nothing in my world made sense anymore. Things I had believed were true and steady were ripped out from underneath me. It was like I was living in a nightmare and I couldn't wake up. I have never fought mental illness like so many people that I know. And I definitely never want to sound insensitive in any way by comparing the circumstances that I found myself at that time. But I felt so overwhelmed. I thought I was suffering from mental illness. I couldn't think straight. I physically couldn't stand up without throwing up. And I temporarily believed I was going to die of a heart attack or a brain aneurysm. I didn't know my emotional being could be so overwhelmed and not push me over into death. I didn't recognize myself in the mirror anymore. I let my situation overwhelm and almost destroy me. And today I praise God for that horrible Tuesday night in February 2023 that I mentioned in my last podcast when everything in my world broke and I finally turned my life back over to Him. The consequences of me lazily dropping my armor over a several year time frame almost destroyed me. I'm not going to share with you what happened on that Tuesday night, but I am going to share the great victory I have had in coming back to God, whom I didn't realize I had abandoned. The consequences of giving my life back to God and starting over have given me strength and peace I never believed possible. I was left broken and bleeding on the side of a very dirty road. Covered in filth and despair, I reached out my hand and God picked me up. I am a different person today because I took the hard first move by reaching out my hand to my ever-loving God, who picked me up, cleaned me off, and made me whole again. I'm now accomplishing things that I never believed possible and I never dreamed of doing, like this podcast. God is building me up in confidence and security, and He is strengthening both my body and my mind. Last week, I shared with you that I foolishly and without intention took my armor of God off and replace the six pieces with substandard items of my own making, of my own beliefs. If you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's podcast, I hope you will go back and listen to the armor of God and read for yourself what Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 has to say. And when you read through Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 on your own time, I want you to imagine three people walking through a dense jungle when a hungry lion jumps out of the bush and charges. One of the people is fully naked, walking without care or even notice of his own nakedness. The second person has a shield and shoes, but little else. The third person is wearing a strong belt, an impenetrable breastplate, sturdy shoes, a heavy shield, a helmet, and a sword for protection. Which one of these people do you think that hungry lion is going to go after first? Which one of these people is probably going to be devoured? The person who is fully covered and armed will be able to withstand the attack because he was ready, as we are commanded to be in 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In realizing my own heavy consequences by not being ready with my full armor, I am spurred to share this lesson in the hope that those listening will understand what decisions you are making in your own life and how the consequences of your decisions can build you up and strengthen you, or they can crush you down and destroy you. Now, last week, I shared on my Facebook page, Lessons of a Former Pastor's Wife, a graph that I made. I've shared the link to my Facebook page in the show details, and I hope you will click on it and go and see that chart for yourself, because it's a little difficult to describe, but I'm going to try. In building the chart, I placed myself in the middle. I wrote me in that circle so that anyone looking at the chart can identify themselves. Surrounding my circle are brown boxes with a B representing bad decisions and purple circles with a G that represent good decisions. As I grow through life making decisions, each side grows as well. If I make a good decision, that decision can lead to several other good decisions. But you'll notice in the chart, there are always a few bad ones that are in there as well. If I continue to select good decisions for myself, the good decisions I have in the future expand and grow. However, there is always a little bad decision that I can make along the way, even though I am making good decisions. Eventually, I can get to a point where I almost only have good decisions to choose from. But you will notice in the chart, all the way over to the right, that there is a fairly large brown box. I'm going to come back to that later. If you follow the lines of bad decisions to the left of the chart, you will start to see the same progress as with the other side, except now the bad choices I have available to me are expanding and growing. There is also a good choice you can make amidst the bad. I made that purple circle all the way to the left of my chart, very small intentionally, because we often don't see a good choice when we are mired down in all the bad decisions we have made. So I'm going to give you an example from my own life, because that's what I do. When I was in college, I got a really great paying job at a printing company in their accounting department. Part of our job was to do annual inventory, which meant working overnight, counting boxes and boxes of subscriptions. Now, I had already made quite a few bad decisions when I started working there. The ladies in my department were colorful and very much in the world. Although I never joined in their colorful conversations, I did laugh a lot, and I enjoyed visiting with them during breaks. I became one of the girls. Of course, they all called me their little Christian girl, and I was way too naive to be offended by it. I just went along with pretty much everything they were doing. I was still going to church every Sunday, and I was still attending college classes. However, the draw of my $11 an hour in 1989 and the fact that I was saving up to get married brought me to the decision to quit college. I do look back on that time now, and I realize I made a bad decision here. So here I was, living one life on Sundays and living an entirely different life during the week with my so-called work friends. No, I wasn't sleeping around and doing drugs like they were, but I was fascinated by their stories, and I soaked in all the conversations, making it very well known that I was interested. Well, one night we were doing our annual inventory, and it was around 1 a.m. when we all decided to take a break. We were supposed to only take 30-minute breaks. I had a headache, so I went with a different friend from another department to an area of the building that was quiet and away from my three loud coworkers. She and I ate quietly together, and the whole time we could hear my coworkers hooting and cussing and having an incredibly fun time. It was really loud. I was the first person to return to work, though I did take a 2-hour break to get my headache under control. I entered my break time in my time card, and I finished my part of the inventory and went home. The next day, I went in to work for my regular shift at 2 p.m. and was surrounded by my three work friends who had taken an almost 4-hour break the night we did inventory. They had my time card in their hands and told me they changed my time from 2 hours to 30 minutes at the same time as theirs, so none of us would get caught. Okay, so I had made a lot of bad decisions up to that point, but I was at least honest on my time card. In front of my friends, though, I let the changes they made stand. It wasn't until my shift ended and they had all left that I couldn't handle the guilt anymore, so I went back to our office and I changed my time card back to the actual break I had taken. I thought I would be honest and take any punishment my supervisor decided to dole out, since I did take a longer break than I was supposed to. I didn't think any further than that. I didn't think of any consequences, but I knew I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I let it stand the way they had changed it. So that was a Friday. On Monday, the crap hit the fan in a bad way. I walked into work expecting my supervisor to be upset with me, but I never expected an inquisition. Apparently, some employees from another department who were doing inventory in their department told on my coworkers and had written down the entire time that my coworkers were off of work. But they didn't know exactly who the three women were who were so loud and disruptive for such a long time. And here I was, the only person who had a longer break listed on my time card. So I got called into my supervisor's office and grilled. I was only 19 years old and I had very little experience, so being yelled at by a supervisor was not something I was equipped to face. I melted down crying, but I still didn't tell her what I knew. I think I was mostly just overwhelmed with my own guilt and feelings of loyalty to my so-called friends. In the end, my supervisor and the HR department got their hands on some glitchy security cameras that gave them a pretty good idea of what had actually happened. If I had not changed my time card back, I would have lost my good paying job. I now know that all the little bad decisions I made in working with my friends and trying to be one of the girls opened a door that led them to believe I would go along with a lie to cheat and steal from my employers. All those little decisions I made put me in a situation where I couldn't win no matter what choice I made. I chose to be able to look at myself in the mirror by changing my time card back. But I still face the consequences of losing all three of my work friends who never talked to me again. I also came out of that situation with my job, but a supervisor who had lost all faith in me. It was no longer a sustainable work environment, and it was a true blessing when I was able to put in my notice because I was getting married and moving away. I know this isn't some huge story of drug use or addiction, but it is an example of how consistently making bad decisions can eventually put us in a position of having very little good to choose. I found myself in a no-win situation. No matter what I decided to do, I was going to lose something. The same holds true with good decisions. I made that brown square larger at the end of the chart on the right side because I believe temptation to make bad choices can be at its highest when we have made so many good decisions, especially for those in ministry. I think that this is right about the time when pride can set in. And I have seen it enough times in my life to know that pride is a killer bad decision that will destroy every aspect of your life. I once heard a pastor who I greatly admire and respect say that one of his colleagues had a moral failing and had to step back from ministry for a while. There was no moral failing. The dude cheated on his wife. He didn't wake up one day and say to himself, "I think I'll go and have a moral failing right now. It will all be okay because look at all the good I've done." No. He had done a lot of good, and he had made a lot of really good decisions across the time span of his life. But temptation crept in, and he made small decisions time and again to explore thoughts and ideas that led to the big decision that ultimately destroyed his family and his ministry. It wasn't the act of the moral failing that was the real problem. It was all the bad decisions he privately made to get to the point where he couldn't resist temptation when it was in front of him. Or, worse yet, he felt entitled to the temptation because he had set himself up where he was no longer accountable to anyone. And that's where pride can have a real party. There's a reason for the old popular saying that says, "Pride goes before a fall," because it really, really does. The chart I made looks simple enough. So if you look at it at the face value, probably drug users, criminals, and axe murderers fall into the left side. And all the good, kind Christians fall under the right side. I mean, it is spelled out in a nice, lovely chart, right? With very pretty colors. I think it's a good time now to introduce a second chart. This chart is what I think most Christians today live with. And I know it's been true in my own life. There's still me in the middle, and I'm still surrounded by good and bad choices that I have to decide on. But this time, the chart shows several lines that lead to both good and bad choices at the exact same time, and the subsequent choices I can make after those. Perhaps I make the decision to start going to church every Sunday. And I keep going to church. And now I've started to get involved in ministry. And I give my tithe to support the missionaries. But my job is hard. Maybe I'm not getting along with a coworker, or my boss is putting a lot of pressure on me. I'm still going to church every Sunday. And I'm still super nice and kind to everyone I meet. The frustration of my situation is really hard to deal with. So I get home from work, and I have a glass of wine to calm my nerves, and I feel better right away. I'm funnier, my spouse is cuter, and I'm not thinking about how hard my job is. Well, okay, that's okay. I'm still a good person, and things are still going well. Except, I still have this work situation that I'm struggling with. And now my spouse is starting to get on my nerves. Well, drinking until I don't feel anything worked really well before. It'll probably work well again. But I'm starting to realize that it's taking more than one or two glasses of wine to push down those emotions. But it's still okay because I'm managing and it feels better than dealing with the stress of my job. And bonus, I can fully ignore my annoying spouse when I'm passed out drunk. I'm finding that what was once a once a week indulgence has now turned into every single night. And my budget is being exceeded each time I get paid because I didn't realize I had spent so much money on alcohol. Do you see where I'm going with this? It's not the moment when you're entering rehab due to losing everything because you're an alcoholic that's the real problem. In fact, many people who are in this exact same scenario that I laid out never go to rehab. They never realize that they have medicated themselves into such a desperate situation that they have no way of dealing with any emotions at all. They made small decisions all along the way to push down their emotions and keep themselves from feeling anything, which means they have to drink more and more when other emotions inevitably crop up. And it becomes a vicious cycle of never dealing with the hard stuff of life. Sadly, many people live in this world and they hurt themselves and everyone around them all along the way because they are not whole and they have not done the hard work to heal. If you put a circle around this new chart and use that circle to represent your whole being, you'll notice that circle starts to fill up with a lot of beautiful purple circles that represent all the good in your life. They can overlap and grow, filling your circle with beauty. But there is probably also several brown spots that do not complement the purple that you are building. These brown spots can also grow and overwhelm all the beautiful color that you've worked so hard to build. The goal is to work at healing those brown bad decisions and turning them around into good. There is never a bad decision that doesn't allow you to, at some point, make a good decision, no matter what your emotions may tell you. I mentioned in my last podcast that I didn't magically wake up on Wednesday morning completely healed from my emotional and physical break. It took a lot of hard work. I immediately got myself into therapy with a licensed counselor who specialized in what I was dealing with. And then I joined a group with other people who were going through something similar. I stopped allowing myself to cry out in despair every single morning. And I changed those waking moments into moments of gratitude. I refused to get out of bed until I could come up with at least five things I could be grateful for. I read my Bible and I prayed fervently for God to direct my path. I put scripture verses up on my bathroom mirror, in my kitchen above my stove, and on the door leaving my home so that I would never forget God's power to heal me and keep me on the right path. I went in for therapy to physically heal my body. And when I was strong enough, I joined a gym and I set goals for myself to heal. Every day, I still set small goals to keep myself on track in healing. Coming back from a major fall is never easy. That devouring lion may be chewing up your half-dead carcass right now as you are listening to this podcast. And you may not have the strength to believe that you can live through your current pain. I am telling you right now that all you have to do is make one small good decision to lift up your hand to God, and every minute of every day, choose Him over your pain. I remember when my youngest son came home to visit after Marine boot camp. He told me that he got through the long, painful ordeal by living chow time to chow time. He didn't think past when he was going to eat again. And he not only survived, but he thrived in some of the harshest conditions I've ever heard of. There's a lesson to be learned from this Marine Corps belief. When you are going through the struggle, live prayer time to prayer time. Don't think past your next prayer time. Set small, achievable goals and reward yourself for your successes. If you have to, set a timer on your watch to pray 3 times a day. Live for those prayer times. I want to leave you with a few scriptures to ponder and perhaps put up on your mirror and the door leaving your home. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." God's will is not that you suffer, bleed, and die, but He won't always stop the consequences of your decisions and the decisions of others from causing you to suffer and bleed. We all have to find a way to live with the consequences of the good and bad decisions that are made. I pray that you will work hard to make good decisions that will promote a healthy spirit, mind, and body within you. This is my story. I can only share from my experiences and pray that God uses my story to encourage and uplift you in your own. I am not a professional counselor, nor am I equipped in any way to give you advice in how to live out your own story. You may need to go to a professional like I did to seek a way to get through your situation. It is possible that you may need to be placed on medication with the goal of getting through the hardest part of your situation. Please, whatever you do, pray and seek God's path for you. Our stories are all different, and I hope you will consider sharing your story with me one day by emailing me at formerpastorwife@outlook.com. Maybe we can pray together and share your story on my podcast to help others.